Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Joan Pride is our guest and senior editor. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors and has been now for many years. She's been a member of our Brain Trust since the year 1999. How about that? So she's actually in her 11th year as a member of our Brain Trust and just can't get enough of us, ladies and gentlemen. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Boy, that's sure true.
That's the story I'm sticking to, Joan. Okay. don't you love a delusional man, Joan?
Always.
Hey, Joan, it's good to have you back. It's good to talk to you. And one of the things that you guys report right out of the box this week is a report on commodity prices. Now, Joan, we all know what happened in 07 and 08, part of 08. Gas prices went up to near 150 a gallon, a barrel. Oil prices, I should say. Crude oil went to near 150 a barrel. Corn went through the roof. Other commodities went through the roof. Uh-huh. And it was basically a commodities bubble, wasn't it?
Sure was.
And so now, but since then, commodities have crashed. The bubble burst. And we saw oil go from 140 something a barrel to what, it got down to 33 or something like that earlier this year?
Unbelievable, yeah.
Just fell off the table.
Right.
Same thing with a lot of other commodities. I mean, if you're a smart commodities trader, you got rich in the last 12 months. You know, because they don't care whether it's going up or down, Joan, as you know.
Right. Right.
Where they can't make any money is when it goes sideways.
Right, exactly.
As long as it's moving.
Somewhere for them to make money.
As long as it's moving, that's exactly right.
Exactly.
But Joan, things are turning up again, as you guys point out.
Yes, they sure are.
Commodity prices are going up. Gas prices are up 25% since February, you report. Crude is running up. What is it now? 60 something? I've forgotten what. I don't see it here in your list here. But
I'm
crude
trying to
is
find it. Oil
crude is oil, crude oil is somewhere around 60, 70, 65 a barrel or something like that. Anyway, it's doubled where it was a few months ago.
Right. Well, we're saying it'll be 70 by late June and then slipping to the low 50s by the end of July. But we think when the economy picks up toward the end of the year, it'll be closer to 65.
Yeah.
But that's still better than 140. That's all right.
Well, no question about it, but there are three issues in the price of oil the way I understand it, Joan.
Uh-huh.
There's, of course, the classic market supply and demand.
Right.
As the economy, we've had demand destruction with the economy, so that's contributed to a drop in the price.
Right.
The geopolitical issues, you know, if there's a battle going on in the Straits of Hormuz, that's going to raise prices. If Iran's rattling sabers, that's going to raise prices. That's one issue. And the other, Joan, is just the attitude, primarily, I think, of the United States to drill for oil, to actually explore for oil. Because if you remember, the Congress allowed the offshore ban to expire in the month of September, and that was one of the main reasons that oil prices dropped.
Okay.
Because the speculators, the people who speculate on the marginal barrels of oil out there, that, in other words, the last one drilled sets the price. The price of the last one drilled, not the ones in the tank already, but the last one drilled, that sets the price. That's the marginal barrel of oil. And so as long as there's some shortage of oil, that makes the price higher, right? But when the government says, hey, maybe we'll drill offshore, well, then that makes the five-year oil people are bidding on, it makes that oil seem like it's going to be a lot less. Anyway, that's the way I understand it. And so now we have a Democrat Congress, a Democrat president, and they're not as predisposed to drilling offshore, are they?
No, I don't think they are, no.
Typically, that's not going to be on their Christmas list.
Not true about the president, but that's true about the leadership in Congress.
Now, that's an interesting point that you make. You think Obama is a driller?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell with him on some issues. I'm not saying drilling specifically, but
yeah.
He doesn't always fall in lockstep with his party. So.
And you know what? As many things as he and I are at cross purposes on, that's one of the things I like about him.
Yeah.
I like that about Barack Obama. Joan, I don't mind if anybody has a completely opposing view from me, but I don't want anybody to be predictable.
Yeah, you don't want them to be knee-jerk, which
that's
too many people in both parties
exactly
are.
That's exactly right.
Both parties, you know, not
well,
just Republicans,
well
but Democrats, too.
Well said. Exactly. No, Joan, I don't talk about Republicans and Democrats anymore. I talk
right.
about the political class.
Right.
Because as Dr. Geiser, my freshman Western Civ professor told me in my first moment of college, there's not a nickel's worth of difference between the two of them.
Yeah, boy, I believe that.
I'll never forget him saying that. Those many years ago, and
it's only gotten much worse since those days many many years ago when you were in school.
Oh yes, that was not long after the Civil War, and things have changed a lot since then.
Right. Oh
but,
yeah.
But no, seriously, I we're getting off of the commodity thing, but I do think it's important to point out. That when someone is not predictable, that means they're capable of some kind of intellectual honesty.
Well, that was what was always interesting about John McCain, I think.
Yes, yes, and he that was part of that's what made him the bane of the existence of his own party.
Right. True.
And so you're proposing that maybe that's what's happening with Barack Obama.
And I don't know, but I just I'm not clear on his position, not through any fault of his, but.
Yeah.
Until I know what it is, I can't really say.
I don't disagree with that. I'm not sure what his drilling issue is, but I do think, though, that there's going to be less chance of drilling. Let me put it this way. The Thumper and Bambi are going to be safe in Anwar as long as we have a Democrat-controlled Congress.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Don't you think
sure.
so? I'm talking about the Anwar Wildlife Refuge in Alaska, folks.
Right.
But back to the letter, Joan. You got me off of it. I can't believe you did that.
How did I do that?
Most of prices fell too low last fall, you're pointing out. And
yeah, so we're saying this isn't some crazy explosion. This is more of a rebound.
Mm-hmm. What's happening right now is more of a rebound, but it does look like a very steep rebound. And the point you make is it's not that it's so steep, it's that it fell too fast, too low too fast last fall. Stand by 20 after. We're going to be right back and sort all this out. After these messages, 20 after, stay with us. It's gone, and I found out a little too late. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much. That's Jackie Wilson, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us back. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. Thanks for being part of my, for hanging out on the site and being part of what we do there and for allowing us to serve you. We built that site and put all the stuff in it just so that you'll have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And we'll follow you home. How about that, folks? If you're busy and you found the things that you want from us and you want us to send those to you every time we get some of it, then we'll follow you home. We'll make delivery, personal delivery, right to your doorstep. You can subscribe to my newsletter, which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon by email. Follow you right home. You can subscribe to my blog, which means that every time we have a new post, we'll follow you right home with that. If you find somebody who's a member of our Brain Trust and you want to make sure you know the next time they're going to be on the show, we'll follow you right home with their next post of an article or an archive. Whatever you like, we're going to do our best to serve you. So I hope you'll check that out. Whatever you've got going on under the small business sun, we've got something that will help you. Anywhere from 5 seconds, 15 minutes, 60 seconds. We got something that will help you there. I hope you check it out. And by the way, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame, so check that out. Joan Pride is our guest. Joan, are you on Twitter?
No. What is that? I don't even know what that is.
We'll talk.
I just barely learned what Facebook is, you know. You've got to give me some time to catch up.
And I'm the old guy here, and I'm telling you about social media, Joan. Yeah. What's wrong with that picture?
So you're stalking listeners now? Is that what you're doing?
Oh, exactly.
Following them home?
We'll follow them home. But ooh, here's the thing. No, it's not stalking because they give us permission.
Oh, okay.
Joan,
well, don't mind.
Joan, people love me. I know this is a shock to you.
It is.
I know this is beyond your comprehension.
Completely.
But people actually love me, and they
really
want. They can't get enough of me,
How
Joan.
How many?
Well, that's not really important, Joan.
Oh, okay.
You mean besides my mother and my sister and my daughter? Yeah. Other than that. Back to commodities. You know, one of the things that you guys pointed out this week, Joan, in the commodity discussion, are some of the other factors that are creating the rise in commodities, and some of them are good news. For example, there's more capital trickling back into the marketplace, as you point out. There's a bit of, as you say, to use your exact words, a bit of economic optimism, Joan.
Right. Exactly.
So those are good things.
Right.
And what we have to remember, Joan, with commodities, part of the price of commodity is when prices go up in commodities, it's either either people are expecting a shortage, or they're expecting there to be a lot of demand.
Right.
And so there may be in some, and it could be a little of both, but I think right now there's a lot of demand hopefulness out there. And as you know, Joan, commodities are not based on what's being sold today; it's what's based on going to be sold in the future.
Yeah.
Either this September or 5 years from now or whatever. And so I think, in a way, I think we can look at higher commodity prices, which, by the way, folks, even though you might not be buying any of these commodities directly, they wind up on your operating statement. They wind up in your cost of goods sold somehow. And so these are all things that you're dealing with in your business in your business. The other thing, though, Joan, that's concerning a little bit about commodities going up is inflation.
Well, that's true. And we just heard a little bit, not to get too far off the subject, but, you know, rates have gone up a bit. So there is some inflation going on here.
Yeah. And so inflation is the... There are a handful of shoes, Joan, that could drop on the global economy over the next, say, 3 to 5 years. That just a small handful that could endure that long. One of them being credit ratings of nations. Moody's rattled a little bit of a saber over the weekend for the UK. Not downgrading them, but they're a little saber rattling about that. If other countries were downgraded, their creditworthiness were downgraded. That's one of them. But the other one is inflation, especially
right.
Hyperinflation, Joan, which I'm worried about because of all the money the government's pumping into the system.
Right.
So oil prices, Joan, at the bottom of page one there, you guys point out that you think they're going to go up a little bit more, maybe up to 70 by the summer. Is that right?
Yes, and then drop back a bit and then kind of recover again a little bit, but still in that range, that between 50 and 70 range. We're not talking above $100 at all.
This really hurts me to say this, Joan, but I can live with $2 a gallon oil. I mean, gas.
What? Wow.
I can live with $2 a gallon.
Well, you know, I've been watching oil prices around here, gas prices around here go from about 220 to 240, and I've been very upset, and then I kept to remind myself that there was a time when I was just desperately hoping we'd get back to 240.
Oh, listen, you know, you drive, if anybody who drives an SUV back a year ago, it wasn't, you could easily put $100 worth of gas in your car.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I personally, I'm not saying I know anybody who actually did
that.
Oh,
no,
But I've heard tell of that, Joan.
Yes.
I heard that it's one of those urban myths, you know, one of those urban legends.
I don't think it's a myth.
That I heard about once. But I enjoyed gas when it got down to 170, 175 or whatever a few months ago. But I do think that a $50 range is a good range, but it'll be interesting. This is something we've got to watch. And I'll tell you, this is one of the ways that I agree with the climate change zealots. We do agree on one thing, and that is that we do need to get off of carbon as a as a, you know, a major base of our energy.
Right.
I just disagree in how we get there. That's where we part company. Quick break. 29 after. Right back with you on the economy after these messages.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The small business advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Joan Pride is our guest. She is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, one of the things you guys point out on page 2 is that business spending, CapEx, capital expenditures, is not going to pick up any time for at least another year or so. Tell us why.
Well, you know, that's it's kind of unfortunate. We, you know, I think we've been waiting to see that happen, but it's just not coming through yet.
Well, the people that I talk to who do surveys of small business owners are reporting the same thing, and
yeah.
See, this is also connecting, the dots are connecting with the banks. When I talk to independent community banks across the country, and they say, hey, Jim, we're ready to loan money to banks, to small business owners. We got no problem. We might have to have a little more documentation than a few years ago because of the new regulations. But basically, we got lots of money. We're ready to go. And they're saying, but small business owners are not coming to ask us for money.
Ah.
They've done a really good job, Joan, of getting their operation trimmed down. And they're believing me. It may be my fault, Joan. This whole CapEx thing may be all my fault.
Ah.
Because I'm the guy who has been telling them, beating them over the head for the last 8 months, that you better be hoarding cash, you better be protecting your cash, you better be making sure that you've got cash. And
oh,
you know
so
what,
you
Joan?
Caused all of this.
I'm probably the reason for all this.
Ah.
Joan, when you're hoarding cash, you're not thinking about, and I'll tell you what else I said, Joan. This may have been contributed too. I told my audience, this is not 2009, is not a good year to climb out on the leading edge with a flyer.
Yeah.
Because Joan, just a millimeter, not even a millimeter, a little hair's breadth on the other side,
right,
of the leading edge is the bleeding edge.
Ooh, did you just make that up?
I've been talking about this for months now.
Impressive.
The bleeding edge, Joan, is where the cash flies out faster than you can. It takes your breath away.
Right.
And, in fact, if it's the bleeding edge, it's money that's being wasted.
Right, wow.
And so the closer you get to the leading edge, the more danger you are of losing your cash unproductively.
Right.
And so that kind of behavior, just like consumers are not spending much money these days, right?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
On luxury goods, I mean, you've decided
I've cut
to
back a bit. Yeah.
Well, you didn't renew the lease on your Rolls Royce. You're driving
right.
You're driving a 3-year old Rolls Royce
and
now.
And the jet.
Yeah, you didn't renew that lease.
Yeah, yeah.
So we cut back on that. So business owners are doing the same thing.
Sure.
And until we can feel that there's some kind of a reasonable return on that, on taking the next step, this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I don't know when that's going to happen. You guys say for another year, and I think you're probably right.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Uncle Sam now, Joan, is feeling the pinch here too, aren't they?
Isn't that's right.
From the standpoint
usually
of lower income.
Usually April is a good month for revenue, obviously, because people are paying their taxes. But we're saying that there's Treasury's posting a deficit for the month of about $21 billion. Usually there's a surplus in that month.
Mm-hmm. Now, Joan, here this is the break point between a fiscal liberal and a fiscal conservative. Between me and, say, Nancy Pelosi, between me and probably Barack Obama, Joan, because when the government doesn't have enough cash, enough revenue, people like Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid think raise taxes because we got to have more money. I think, lower taxes so business owners will create more production and pay more taxes that way. I believe in the supply side economics theory.
Okay.
And so this is what's going on right now. If the government doesn't have enough money, some people say lower taxes, some people say raise taxes.
Right.
And so we're obviously going to see what's going to happen. As you know, the President Obama wants to raise taxes
on some people and lower them on others, right?
Right. But he wants to raise taxes on the people who create jobs and make things happen.
On some of them, sure.
Really all of them, Joan.
Really? Oh.
Above 250,000 income.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much all of them. But anyway,
okay.
That's an interesting point that we're going to be seeing folks coming up real soon. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to move over and talk about there's an interesting things going on with the bank bailout. It may not cost as much money as they thought because the banks don't want any part of the government in their business. They're paying the money back. 20 till. Stay with us.
Stowing away the time. Are you gathering up the keys? Have you had enough of mine?
Jackie Wilson, ladies and gentlemen. How about that? No, is that who that is? No, that's... I've forgotten. Anyway, it's a great song. I think that's Jackie. Wonderful song. Wayback Machine, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm laughing because I know how much Joan Pratt is digging that music. Right, Joan?
You know what I'm thinking.
That Joan, it doesn't
it's so
get
old,
any.
You can't even remember the name of the artist.
It doesn't get any better than that. I'm pretty sure that was Jackie Wilson.
Yeah.
But anyway, Joan Pratt is our guest, folks, and we always have a lot of fun here. The website there, Kiplinger. She's senior editor at the Kiplinger Editors, and their website is kiplinger.com. I'm saying it. I'm emphasizing it, folks, so you know how to spell it. Kiplinger, K-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R.
Exactly.
It's not Kiplinger, by the way. It's Kiplinger. That's the way Austin says it.
Yep,
so
hard G. Hard G.
He's my guy. So anyway, the four primary letters, the flagship, the Kiplinger letter is the weekly letter John and I work off of. Then we got the bi-weeklies, the California, the tax, the agriculture letter, and the biofuels letter. Those four are every 2 weeks. And then, of course, that magazine thing.
That's right, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And what about that phone number?
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And, folks, Joan, and I think I pointed this out once before, Kiplinger
yes.
letter, the style of writing that Willard Kiplinger came up with way back in the day, back in 23, or before that, actually, but he probably came up with it before he launched the letter. But the style that's been consistent throughout is like a tweet. It's like on Twitter.
Yeah, that's real interesting when you say that. And I think that's absolutely true.
I mean, think about it, folks. This is the letter is a little snippet, as Willard called it, little snippet of information, which is what could lead you to other information if you want
exactly.
it. That's what Kiplinger offers, and that's what a tweet is on Twitter. Joan, is most of the time, many times, at least all of my stuff, is a little snippet of information with a link to more. And so I just think that's interesting that Mr. Willard Kiplinger was a visionary beyond even his own imagination.
That is true. He was.
Yep. Joan, one of the things that we want to talk about is at the bottom of page two that I think is very important to point out. It's something I'm very proud of President Obama about. And folks, you know that I'm irritated at him about a couple of things he's done, but I've got to give him credit for this. Joan, this is a perfect example of what you said a minute ago about him not being predictable.
Yeah.
He wants to pass a free trade agreement with Panama and with Colombia.
And with Colombia, yeah.
I want to give him a high five. Heck, Joan, I want to hug him.
Wow.
And
but
I mean,
he's a Democrat.
Joan, listen, listen. Some of my best friends are Democrats, Joan.
Okay.
But the thing is, and some of my best friends are Republicans too, Joan. But the thing is, Joan, the Columbia Free Trade Agreement should have been passed 3 years ago.
Okay.
And the people who held it up were Pelosi and Reid, the Democrats. President Uribe of Colombia is a courageous man, and he should, his country should need this free trade agreement. You know what, Joan? The truth is, America needs this free trade agreement more than Colombia does in some ways.
Really?
Because, well, we're already giving them advantages. They're
right.
Just not giving us the advantages because we don't have the agreement.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's actually hurting Americans. So I got to take my hat off. I hope they agreements.
Uh-huh.
So that's a good thing. I always like it when I can compliment President Obama, Joan.
That's good.
Over on page three, Joan, the rescue plan. Now, this is one of the most interesting things to happen this week, Joan. The bank rescue plan may cost half of what they thought it was going to cost.
Yeah, I'm amazed.
Tell us about it.
Well. We're saying that last year's $700 billion rescue plan could cost less than half. Now, they say $601 billion was used, and banks want to repay that. Now, think about why. Because as soon as they repay it, they're no longer beholden to the government, and they want
right.
to get out from under the government.
Buyer's remorse,
Joan.
Which
they should want to.
Yeah. Buyer's remorse.
Well, they were kind of forced into it, I think.
Fish and visitors and the government stink in 3 days, Joan.
Now, wait a minute. That's that's a modification of the old saying.
I'm going to put a third one on to the wise old Ben Franklin saying, fish and visitors and the government, folks, stink in 3 days.
Throw them
and the banks have found that out.
Yeah, sure.
It's very interesting. So now, I did not see that coming, Joan. I mean, I saw, and I actually talked about the fact that we're going to want to get the government's nose out, the government's camel's nose out from under our tent.
Right.
I said that was going to happen.
Right.
But I didn't see coming the fact that we might actually not have to spend all that money. In the end, the final analysis will be a lot less will be spent because they want to pay it back.
And pretty quickly. You know, it hasn't been that long since they
In
got
fact,
the money.
Joan, some of them have been prevented from paying it back. They wanted to pay it back quicker.
Really?
And the government wouldn't let them. Because the government was afraid they weren't fixing their problems. They were just trying to get rid of the uninvited guest.
Oh, I.
So
you know,
the party crasher, Joan.
Yeah.
So we're gonna take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're gonna talk about banks, the lending, the boost to local banks. My buddies, independent community banks, my peeps. We're gonna talk about how all this has had a good effect on them, and guess what? Therefore, a good effect on small business. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, one of the things that you guys report this week is that the immigration folks are changing their tactics, aren't they? They're turning around where they do their enforcement.
And this is something your listeners need to know because it's kind of worrisome.
Go ahead.
Because they're going to focus on employers.
Yeah, not employees.
Right, exactly. And you might say, well, the Bush administration focused on employers, but what they were doing was raiding plants and arresting the workers who were illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And now the idea is to go after evidence of employer wrongdoing before going after the workers.
So they're going to for example, if this were like the drug war, instead of going after the user, they're going after the supplier.
Right.
So
in a sense, yeah.
Well, if you think about it, employers are easier to find than employees are.
Well, that's true.
And the employees all have to come to the employer to do their work.
Right.
So why not go hang out where they are?
Yeah.
And so folks, you need to realize this. I mean, I don't know how many of you are potentially obviously, you know, mistakenly employing undocumented workers. But to the degree that you are, you need to know what's going to be happening. There's also another thing, a new development, Joan, what's called a real ID law. This is, the states hate this. Why is that?
Well, just to be clear, that they're going to get rid of the real ID law.
I misunderstood.
Yeah,
I thought they didn't like
history.
The real ID. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Well, I mean,
it
is hated by states and municipalities, and I guess it's part of the reason why it's going to be history. Congress is going to replace it by what we're saying as a yet undetermined tamper-proof ID card.
Joan. There's nothing that's not tamper-proof. You know, we can get around everything, right?
Oh, sure.
I mean, this is, you know what, Joan, all that's going to be is a new challenge for the counterfeiters.
Right.
That's all it's going to be. Hey, Joan, let's move on down and talk about independent community banks, because I'm so excited about this. One of the side effects of the new credit card law is a boost in local banks. I mean, anything that helps independent community banks is makes me happy.
That's right. I guess big banks have marketing advantages, and that's going to be reduced now under the stimulus law. And so small banks will be able to get more of their own cards in the hands of their customers, which is kind of neat.
My credit cards, except for Federal Express, except for American Express, I should say, my American Express cards, all my Visa and MasterCard credit cards come from my independent community bank. They're all issued to me by my independent community bank, and have been now for almost 20 years, Joan.
Wow!
So I've been true to my independent community bank for a long time, and they've been true to me. And I'll tell you what, folks, it's made all the difference. And when I say all, I mean capital A, capital L, capital L, all the difference in whether I made it or not. Was my relationship with my independent community bank. I never get tired, and I never will stop singing the praises of locally owned, locally managed banks, Joan.
Right.
You know them. You've met them. You know the guys. You've talked to them. And I talk to them all the time. And I'll tell you, folks, I'm going to say it once again. If you're a small business and you don't have a close relationship with an independent community banker, you're not being as potentially successful as you could be.
Right.
Because they make all the difference. Joan, let's move over and talk about business costs. Toll-free numbers are going to get cheaper. I like that. If you've got a business, folks, you need to have a toll-free number. Just all there is to it. Joan, it costs very little these days to have a toll-free number.
It's not bad. We save 4 to 6 cents a minute. That's not bad at all.
And if that's what makes customers call you quicker than somebody else, I mean, think about it. They got two people there in front of them. One has a toll-free number. The other doesn't have. Who are you going to call, Joan? All things being equal, I'm going to call the guy who's going to pay for my call.
Right.
And so, folks, you need to look into this. Talk to your provider. They can get it for you. I've had a toll-free number, Joan, for a long time.
I know.
Probably 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big deal. Joan, another thing that you guys point out is that this is not good news, is ad rates for search engines are going to go up.
Yeah, and coming very soon. We say around mid-June.
Yeah. So if you're doing SEM, search engine marketing, then your costs are probably going to, your pay-per-clicks, you're probably going to go up a little bit pretty soon. So watch out for that. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
Okay, sounds good.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, with the Kiplinger Editors. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I want to remind you that a ship in the harbor is safe. But that's not what ships were made for.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.